everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Cetera. And this episode, I got my co-host, Erica Flynn, with me. And we're on calbanyan.com. I tell you what, this is so exciting. I mean, I believe this episode's going to come out after the 500th episode. And so we've got 500 episodes behind us. About, 485 of them being videos. And I was just talking with Erica about how cool this is to have this stuff out there for everybody to just share and watch. And, you know, so many people get training out there that's really insufficient, or they just have a hunger for more. And then here it is. All you got to do is kind of go to calbanyan.com, click on the big red arrow, and we've got a whole bunch of videos for you. All right. Let me tell you about Erica. Erica Flint. She came to us from the world of computer science, where she did high-level computer science problem-solving kinds of things. She's a big thinker in her profession. She's even got a patent or two to her name. Then one day she said, you know what? I want to work with the biggest, greatest computer known to mankind. The one right there in our skulls. And somehow she heard about hypnosis, got interested in hypnosis, took a local certification course, whetted her appetite, but it wasn't enough for her to really get her practice going. And she wanted to leave that world and just get into the world of hypnotism. She found out about my 5 Path 2.0 DVT set. And you know what? That's what it took. Got her started. She started seeing clients, being successful. That gave her the confidence to come to our Week of Power 7-day advanced certification course. That gave her booster rockets to take off. Within a year, she was full-time in the profession. And then I met her at the National Guild of Hypnotists convention, where all of you folks should be going. And I thought, wow, this gal's really got it going on. Set her up for an interview on this podcast, and I really liked it, and invited her to be a co-host. And you know what? I've never regretted it. How you doing, Erica?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you so much. And I'm just really loving being part of this program. I know you know that, but I was just thinking about how cool is it that we create really high quality, optimized information for hypnotists out there, for professional hypnotists out there, and want to be professional hypnotists out there. So I'm just really happy to be a part of this. And today's episode, we're going to be talking about the post-hypnotic interview and how to optimize that aspect of your session. I think it's something for me, when I first started, I was trying to get through the hypnosis session portion of it. That was the part I was most nervous about. And now I realize how important it is to optimize every single aspect of the hypnosis session. So the post-hypnotic interview is what we're talking about today. Before we get started, let me tell everybody about you, Cal. Cal Banyan is the authority on hypnosis that works. And this hypnosis five path and everything that Cal teaches, these episodes on hypnosis, etc., they work. I use them in my office every single day. He has been in the hypnosis profession for 20 years, and he has won every single award that the National Guild of Hypnotists offers. And the National Guild of Hypnotists is the oldest and largest hypnosis professional organization in the world. He is an author, he is a trainer, he's a speaker, he has appeared on television and radio talking about hypnosis. He is a leader in the profession, and he trains some of the best in the world. And I am just really excited, honored to be here today to talk with you, Cal, and share this with our listeners on this really important topic on how to optimize the post-hypnotic interview. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think you pointed out that we just haven't really covered this in enough depth in podcasts in the past. We could do 500 podcasts and not cover this in enough depth. It just shows that there isn't time enough in the world to talk about everything in the world of hypnosis.
And the other thing I think it points to is that, and this is one of the things that I absolutely love about Five Path, we are constantly evolving and getting better, using the best techniques in the world. And so as we are constantly evolving and doing the best stuff, there's new and greater things out there all the time. And that's also what we're talking about in the podcast, right?
Absolutely. So what made you think about doing this?
I think we had done an episode on emerging. I don't know how many episodes ago. I guess I probably should have looked that up. But and I found that to be really important, too. We talked about kind of the same thing, like how do you empower the portion of the hypnosis session where you're emerging your client. And so then I started thinking about, because I did a session last week, I think, where the post-hypnotic interview was, I'm like getting really good at it. Let's put it that way, because I know exactly what should be done to really empower that last part of the session. And guess what? This is what you're doing with your client right before they leave. So this is a very important aspect of the session. So it's important to understand how to optimize that part of it. So that's how it came up.
All right. So shall we begin? Do you want to start, Amir?
Yes, let's begin. All right. So the post-hypnotic interview, what is it? This is when you have actually emerged your client, okay? So, and we go through this, I mean, we've talked about this before, but when you are emerging your client and you say something like, you know, I'm gonna count from 1 to 3, and when I get to 3, you're going to emerge feeling amazing or feeling peaceful, and you count to 3, just to be clear, your client is still very likely in a state of hypnosis. Just because you say the word emerge or count to 3 doesn't mean they're like, boom, snapped out of hypnosis, right, Cal?
You know, sometimes they're even deeper, because there might be some little bit that, especially in like a first or second session, they might be a little bit on guard. And then when you say, and now emerge, they kind of go, ah. And go into a deeper level than they were in the entire session. What do you think of that?
I think that's fantastic. And I totally agree with you. They do relax. They're like, oh, the session is almost over. Now I can really relax. And so when that aspect is over, we want to capitalize on that portion of the session. So very likely your client opens their eyes. And so what do you do next? What do you do next? And I'm not sure, maybe Cal, you have a particular order that you like to do things in. Sometimes I do it in a variety, kind of a different order depending on what happened during the session. But let's just talk about some of the things that you definitely want to incorporate in that post-hypnotic interview. So one of the things that we want to do, especially if it's one of the first sessions or you've done any convincers with your client, is point out the convincers and how well your client did with those convincers. That just reinforces the hypnotic state for them and helps them feel even more confident as a client, right?
Well, I think that's really important in a first, if what you did in the first session was a preparation for hypnosis, the hypnotizing them, deepening them, covertly testing them, and then overtly testing them as a convincer, okay? And then you did not go on to age regression work, then it's very important that when you first emerge them, I like to do it this way. I'd say, as soon as they open their eyes and you do feel good, don't you? And I smile. Because at that moment, that's one of the first things they're doing as they're starting to emerge is, how do I feel? And you want to start off with getting that suggestion into them. It's not a question. You go, and you do feel good, don't you? You see? And then you can go in like Erica's recommending and start talking about, you did really, really good. Do you remember when I had you try to open your eyes, but you couldn't, or I had you try to lower your arm, but you couldn't? That's just to show you how well you're doing. I had already tested for myself. That was for you. Is that what you're talking about, Erica?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to ask you a question, Cal, because I want to clarify for even some of our listeners that might be listening and not watching. When you're saying to your client, and you do feel good, don't you? Are you nodding your head?
I think so. But what I'm doing is everything about me is congruent with that. Mm-hmm. My face, all my movements, the tone of my voice, and you do feel good, don't you? And so it's more than just nodding your head, it's total congruence.
Right. Okay, good. I just wanted to point that out for maybe some of our listeners who aren't watching, that they understand that it's that total congruence of tone when you are saying that to them. And
let me say something here. I want to warn them, do not ask them, did you feel hypnotized? That is called amateurville, okay? The hypnotist does not ask the client, were you hypnotized or did you feel hypnotized? Because that is wrong. It's wrong for so many reasons. It's wrong because, first of all, you should have done depth testing so that you know that they're hypnotized. Second, what does hypnosis feel like? Hypnosis could feel like anything. If that feeling that they experienced did not match their expectation of what it should feel like, they will say they did not feel hypnotized. So we don't go there. We talk about the convincers instead. Because when we have a client, the client comes in frustrated because nothing they've done has worked. And now they're thinking, oh my goodness, I must be going nuts. I'm going to go see the witch doctor. I mean, hypnotist, right? And so they might even be depressed about this problem. And after we hypnotize them, our main goal in this first session is to come up with a optimistic, hopeful, somnambulistic client. And because after the first session, we're going to get into that good, deep stuff like age regression, forgiveness work, parts work, that kind of stuff. And so we want to get them into that hopeful somnambulic state. And that's what the positive suggestions are for that we give them in the first session, and also the convincers and stuff. Never, ever, ever said, did you feel hypnotized? Do you agree with me?
Absolutely. You never want to ask that question, because a lot of times our clients are never going to know. And it could just, you know, it's like you said, it's an amateur question.
They are not qualified to answer that question. The only person in the room that's qualified to answer that question is the hypnotist.
And it's not relevant at all, as a matter of fact, because we really want our clients to get their end result, right? And whether they're feeling hypnotized or not isn't really that important. So I think that, you know, Kel, when you're talking about the convincers, I also wanted to just mention that one of my favorite convincers, you talked about eye and arm catalepsy. Time distortion, I think, is really powerful, too. Are you, you use time distortion, right?
Okay, here's the deal. The time distortion technique I got from Don Martin. And when I do a session, or when a five-pather does a session that is just phase one, preparation, testing, and convincing, and then direct suggestion to close out the session, then I love doing time distortion. Time distortion is where we suggest it's only been a few minutes of hypnosis, but really we've had them in for like 20 minutes or more, and then they underestimate the time. Great convincer, okay? But if you go into age regression work in the first session, I typically don't do time distortion, because it can be really hard work. Time flies when you're having fun, it doesn't when you're not. And so that's the difference.
Very good point. So in that first session, if you're doing time distortion, only ask that question as a convincer if it has not included age regression.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So then the second thing that I always ask my clients, I want to reinforce the insight that has happened in that session. And so the insight that comes up as five pathers will ask some questions. Put an ending on the sentence. I've changed because now I know. You know, like, I've changed because now I know my mom always loved me. I've changed because now I know. I've changed because now I know there's nothing wrong with me. And I've changed because now I feel loved. Now I feel good about myself. Now I feel confident. All of those things, we want to point those out to the client after the session, and it's super powerful. Kel, you taught me about this, so why don't you take it from there? Why is it so powerful that we're repointing out the insight that they gained in the post-hypnotic interview?
Okay, Five Path is an insight-driven process. We want to create insight in the hypnosis, not just direct suggestion, because when people have insight, it forces the subconscious mind into a state of reorganization around the new insight. It must accept it, where it doesn't have to accept just direct suggestion. And then what we do is, after they've had that insight, it could be in age regression, it could be in forgiveness work, it could be in parts work. What we do in the session, we have them say, put an ending on this, I've changed because now I know. I've changed because now I feel. And I also like having them say, so now I can. And it tells them what they can do now differently. We'll do that at the point of insight. Then, just before we emerge them, we do what's called a segue, where we go from the insight work into the direct suggestion work. And we're going to attach the direct suggestions to the insights. So to say, now that you know this and you feel that, now you can do this, whatever they came in for. And now you are a non-smoker. Now you easily drop weight. Or now you're confident in speaking in front of groups, whatever. Okay. Then we go to the emerging process. And as soon as they emerge, and you do feel good, don't you? Now, we've done insight work like age regression and stuff, so we don't do the time distortion. And we say, put an ending on this. I've changed because now I know. Good. Put an ending on this. I've changed because now I feel. Good. Now put a change on this, ending on this. So now I can. And what that does is they've made these super changes subconsciously in the hypnosis session, but I want to make sure they take ownership of those changes post-hypnotically. So it's a very important thing to do in the post-hypnotic interview, probably the most important thing when you've done insight work. What do you think of that, Erica?
Absolutely. I love that. I think it's so powerful and so important. And I love the look on my client's face when they have realized they've made these really big changes, which is a good segue to another question that I don't always ask, but I will often ask, and this too comes from you, Cal. I say, did you surprise yourself today? Because if I know that the client has made a big shift, I want them to understand that they did something that perhaps they didn't think they were going to be able to do, or they're thinking in a way that they didn't think that they would think before. And so I want them to kind of take ownership of that as well. And what else do you want to say about that question, Cal?
Well, one thing about that, kind of surprise yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
When they answer that, that it can also, it either reinforces an insight that they've had, or it can uncover another insight. So only the five pathers have this level of understanding, and the folks that watch this podcast, that, I mean, this is really nitty gritty, high end professional understanding of hypnosis, far beyond anything else that's out there. So, spread these videos around. But a simple little thing like, and you do feel good, don't you? Kind of surprised yourself, didn't you? How many seconds did that take? But it can have a tremendous amount of effect on how well your clients do after they leave the office.
Absolutely. And then the other thing I like to do is just pause. Especially if I can tell that there's kind of, you kind of see the wheels turning, I want there to be a space where the client feels safe to tell me anything at all, anything that they want. And so I'll just, very compassionately and gracefully, I suppose, just kind of, I'll take in a nice deep breath perhaps and just pause and let them speak. And often they do. I don't have to ask a question or anything. They'll just say something. And something that is meaningful to them or something else. So it's not like me as the hypnotist, I don't have all the right questions to ask them. Sometimes the best information comes from them if you just give it space to come up, right, Cal?
That's like the echo in Seven Path, right? That's where the action happens.
Yeah, so you're just allowing the subconscious to kind of just reflect upon the session without necessarily guiding them. You're letting anything at all come up. And the next thing that I like to do is just kind of increase their confidence in any way I possibly can by just pointing out how amazing it was that this happened and that happened and wow, that was incredible that this occurred. And I'm really increasing their confidence in the hypnosis process itself, their ability to do the hypnosis process itself, but also just in them as a person. So what do you think about that, Cal?
It's all great stuff. I mean, it's so important. This is how this is how you get a chance to frame the whole experience of what's just happened, which is usually like one of the most memorable and life-changing experiences in their life. It's right up in there, right?
Right, because they've been struggling with something for so long. It's impacted their life in a negative way for so long, and yet in a matter of what ends up being a couple hours of their life, they're making significant life-altering changes that can put them on a trajectory in their life that changes everything for them in a positive way. And hopefully, at least for my clients, I want them, of course, to fix what they came in for, right? They lose the weight, they stop smoking, they feel more peaceful, they get to sleep, they fix the relationship, they have more energy, all of that stuff. But that's just the beginning. From there, now they realize, oh my gosh, I can do anything. And they're going to take those lessons that they learned about themselves and how powerful they really are and use that for every other thing in their life. I love that.
Yep.
And all right, so the last thing that I like to do in the post-hypnotic interview, and then I'll hand it over to you, Cal, because maybe you have something else I don't know. I will say something like, and we do this while we are emerging, often we'll say the same type of a thing, but we'll say that the next hypnosis session will be even more powerful. And so I reiterate that and say something like, I can't wait to see you next week, or have a fabulous week. The next hypnosis session will be even more powerful.
Perfect. Sounds good. Wrap it up.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. I'm Erica Flynn. You can find me at CascadeHypnosisCenter.com. And I have a couple classes coming up, one in July, one in October and September. I'll also be at the NGH convention, so I hope to see you there. And you can find me at OurHypnospace.com, where I lead a marketing group. Hope to see you soon.
All righty-o. Thank you very much, Erica. I'll tell you what, I'm just so excited to be able to talk about the things that are coming up in the future. We've got here at our Dallas/Plano, Texas office, a new certification course coming up in October 2nd through the 13th. That's the weekend off in the middle, so you can go hang out, check out Dallas. Did you know, you remember that TV show Dallas? That actual house and ranch where all that was done is about, I don't know, 5 miles away. You can go out there and check out Dallas, and they do tours and all that kind of stuff. And of course, there's just a ton of things to do here anyway. The other is a Week of Power, June 18th through the 24th, where that's for folks who are already certified. You've been watching this for a while, and you said, that's it. I'm going to go see Cal and get this certification. By the way, the courses that Erica is talking about are the same courses. I mean, if you're up in the Northwest, it's the same course I teach. If you want to learn from Erica, then beautiful. But it's the same certification, the same course. If you're taking the 10-day course, not only do you get 5-pass certification, 7-pass self-hypnosis certification, master hypnotist certification, but you also get National Guild of Hypnotists certification. If you have enough hours to qualify, you can also get National Guild of Hypnotists certification by taking our 7-day course. All right, that's it. I want to see you live, I want to see you in person. Go to calbanion.com, click on the big red arrow, and you can watch all these videos. That's it, Cal Banion.
This recording is the property of Cal Banion and the Banion Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.